Hi everyone, welcome to Type Talks. Today we're here with Anne, and we're here to talk about episodic emotion. If you are an extrovert, or you use introverted feeling, or you're an Enneagram 8, you're more likely to relate to this phenomenon we're talking about today. And so when it comes to displays of emotion, some types are going to show it right away. You'll see it and it'll just pass through and it's really nothing. It's like, oh, I've forgotten that that happened. Or I'm like, oh, I had this strong reaction that moment, and it's not something that I carry on every single day. It was just a reaction in the moment, and that's all that it was. And so, Anne, would you like to explain some of the phenomenon behind this?
Sure. Something that's really mattered to me in this last year is being able to differentiate between an episodic reaction, either within myself or within someone else, or a sense of maybe a deep belief or a view that they have of me or of the world. And what I had not realized with certain cognitive functions is that someone may be reacting episodically just to that specific situation. And even in discussing conflicts or places that we've missed them, they may be sharing just that incident and they're not gesturing to all of me, which is a Disney phrase. But they're just evidencing just that one incident, and they want to talk through that, work through that, and they don't necessarily see it connected to character or how we function all the time. And partly from self-awareness and understanding myself as an extrovert and how I process things more from an FI perspective, I am very expressive. If I'm having a feeling in the moment, I don't typically meter it. Sometimes I should probably meter it more, but I don't typically meter it. And I'm not usually in positive emotions. I want to be expressive and positive. Sometimes in negative emotions, I'll meter those and I'll recognize they're there and I'll announce that they're there. But I'm learning that for certain other perspectives, that may feel like a much bigger issue because those negative emotions, they may skirt around and not want to really address. And so because I'm not necessarily afraid of them and I'm not letting them control what's going on, but they're an indicator of what's going on possibly inside me in this interaction. So I see it as a authenticity or a sharing of myself or being present or being genuine. But I'm learning that certain perspectives, the way that they see the world or frame things, they might view that in a not supportive way or in a negative way. And so understanding either to communicate, hey, this is an episodic experience that I'm having. In this moment, I'm feeling this way, could really help. And then also understanding for others that they may be giving me some negative feedback, and to not generalize it to myself, my character, and therefore misinterpret their sense towards me. Because if it's a negative thing, I could overinterpret that as their view of me is overly negative, where it could just be an individual thing.
Absolutely. And so extroverts are more prone to having strong personalities, especially if you're an Enneagram 8, you'll also have a strong personality. And sometimes even with FI, you'll have authentic emotion at the time. All of these things bubbling up can look like, oh, they must really feel a certain way about something. Like it must have really upset them, or it must say something about the relationship. Or you could make another really long-term implication that the person doesn't mean in the moment because they're just being themselves at that moment. So it's just interesting. I noticed that I have a lot of clients who do have strong personalities that tend to express right in the moment. And then they don't know that the other person continues to carry it on. And so if you have a more conflict avoidant introvert that has a more introverted Enneagram type, they can interpret strong personalities as that person is imposing or that person must feel that way very, very strongly if they're expressing it. Because if someone has a meek personality, if they look at a strong personality, they're like, wow, that person must really feel that way in order to show it, because I wouldn't show it unless it got so much that I wouldn't be able to handle it, that I'm sharing it. So it almost seems like a big dramatic gesture that means a lot when it's really for the extrovert or the Enneagram 8 or the FI user just expressing their emotion at that moment. And it really doesn't mean anything about that person as a whole. It's just, hey, immediate action item, because extroverts are action oriented. So if they notice something that needs to be acted on, especially if they're Enneagram 8 and they care about protecting other people or protecting the situation, they're going to react immediately, and it can look assertive or aggressive because it's very gut instinct. And other people can be like, wow, they can look very strong to another person. So it just shows that miscommunication can happen all the time. So my mother is an ESFP, and she is very action oriented. And when she gets upset, she will just say the emotion out loud. It can feel like a very intense emotion at that moment. And it can feel like, oh, she really means that. I wonder if she's feeling that all the time. And it's really not true. She's not holding anything against anyone. She's just expressing her anger at that moment. And then it's gone. It's poof. It's erased. So some people think that people hold on to emotional states. Some introverted types are more likely to internalize things, project longer into the implications of things. And so they're like, oh, it's not just anger at this moment, it's long-term implications. Being an introvert can cause you to be less of an episodic emotional person. Then when you see an episodic person, you infer way more into it than what actually exists. It changes the way that you frame the situation. And this is what personality theory is all about. Learning about the neurodivergence within everyone. And Anne actually has a wonderful way of putting it with a frame and a painting.
So I was realizing that I really think about framing and reframing things, because when you get to know a person and you get to know more of them and more of their backstory, like in a movie or a storybook, you get a sense of their overall character and why they do what they do. But if we don't get to know them accurately in real life, because we don't have the backstory of everybody we meet, we can infer motives and goals and purposes to their behavior that isn't necessarily accurate. So one of the best things we can do in caring for others and honoring their dignity and their autonomy is to let them narrate their own behaviors and share who they are and how they're functioning. So in processing that, just, I've always thought of frames and reframing. So as we were preparing for today, I realized, oh, this is hanging on my refrigerator. So my grandson in preschool made this for me this last week, and it is this beautiful little golden frame and then this beautiful canvas. And they were going to cut out, you know, a place and then glue it together. And thankfully my daughter said, no, mom's gonna love it if you leave it off like that. Because what you can do then is move it around and see the different parts. And so I was realizing, you know, if we only see someone in this beautiful, warm sunset, sunrise coloring, and we don't know the rest of their story, we don't know the rest of them, we can infer that they're always like that. And then if they show up and maybe it's a hard time or it connects to something they struggled with in the past, and they're reliving some trauma or they're needing some space to process some things in their life, and we see this, we're going to be confused, or we might infer the wrong things about them. But if we go to them and say, hey, you know, you don't seem to be yourself today, I'm seeing some other things, what's, you know, are you okay, what's up, and let them tell us the backstory and explain that, then our frame of reference for who they are is expanded. And we're getting, instead of just this, we're seeing this and this. And in time, we can get to know all of who they are. And then when we relate to them, our frame of reference is, oh, right now they're in this. Yesterday they were in this. I might check in and go, hey, how you doing today? Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Or hey, you know, for neurodivergent people, we spend a lot of time having to mask. So it could be that they're in their mask today and looking sunny, but they're actually feeling more of this. So whether it's an episodic thing or it's something related into the conversation or just the characterization of the relationship and how it's been going lately, we can actually see it in a non-judgmental, not taking it personally way, and see it as, you know, who are they today and how are we framing them? How are they framing themselves? And is our framing of them accurate and fair, and giving them a chance to be who they are? So it's kind of a silly metaphor and visual, but it might help us realize that, you know, hey, let's get to know them more, get to know their backstory, so that our frame of reference for them is more complete and more open, so that our interactions with them can be very mutually genuine and mutually edifying and enjoyable.
And when you talked about how someone can look really sunny on the outside, but inside be really sad, there's something called the ENFP sad clown syndrome, where a lot of ENFPs, when they're depressed, they don't look sad at all to an external person because they look really upbeat, bubbly, and warm. And so when an ENFP tells you they're depressed, usually it's very surprising because it's like, wow, I really didn't know. On the converse too, ENFPs can look very cheerful, but when you hit on a value, let's say that it looks like you're mistreating someone, there's injustice, and they want to fend for the underdog, then an ENFP can bring out their claws. And with that FI, with that Enneagram 8, with that being an extrovert, can amplify that. So you're going to want to defend someone. And you might be really shocked if you're watching this, because you see this really bubbly person bring out their claws. And that's a moment of episodic emotion. And so they're not making a value judgment against you if they're protecting someone. They're just protecting that person, and that's what's on their mind right now.
That's really good differentiation, because otherwise it might look like a personal attack or taking it personally, when actually the focus is much more on defending what seems to be someone who's being victimized or missed.
Exactly. Yeah. And so comment below, do you relate more to having episodic emotions when it comes to these wanting to defend someone or expressing strong negative emotion or strong feeling at the moment, intense feeling? Or do you relate more to being someone who doesn't really do that? I'd love to know your thoughts, your type. Yeah, let's have a discussion. And so if you like today's episode, feel free to like, subscribe, and share. It really helps the channel out. Feel free to check out my website at joycemaincoaching.com. It gives you the opportunity to support creators like me, and it helps keep this channel alive. So thank you very much. I'll see you all in the next one.